We're trying to help the lower class and the middle class that make $59,000. Most people don't make $109,000. And so when people come to us, they're like, that's lower than my rent payment right now.
What do you say to people who think that this is just a phase, that tiny homes are just a facade, that they're going to be going out just as fast as they came in?
Is it worth the investment to invest in my family? Is it worth to be around my kids?
Welcome back to the Tiny Home Podcast, the number one tiny home podcast in the world, powered by Saddlebrook. I'm your host, Chris. And again, guys, welcome back. Colton and Kyler, what's going on?
It's feeling good this morning.
Yeah, man. Honestly, this week has been an awesome week. Amazing start to the week because we're coming off our open house on Saturday, right? You guys want to start on that, kind of touch on our open house. What was our open house and what did we do, man? Tell the crowd.
Man, it was awesome. It was one of our... I don't even say it's one of our first.
Right.
But it was our first public open house. We probably had, I don't know, anywhere from 40 to 50 people show up.
There was
driving anywhere people, yeah. From Missouri, staying overnight in hotels, San Antonio. I mean, we're getting people from all over to drive in. You know, Iowa. I mean, it's crazy how far people are driving.
I think that was the coolest thing when there's people telling us like, oh my God, I saw this and I stayed overnight. I actually had my first customers, they came in, they said, man, we booked a hotel and we wanted to be the first ones here.
That's awesome.
Yes. They were here. So we opened at like 10 and they were here at like 8:30.
They were like just waiting.
Would you guys mind to show us around at 8:30? And we're like, sure. Like
they wanted to be the first ones there when we opened up.
So. And they're like, are you Chris? Or are you Kyler? Are you Colton? Yeah. I've seen you guys. That was a pretty cool moment. I'm not going to lie. But the fact that people are coming from Missouri, they're coming from 4, 5, 6 hours away. It kind of tells you something about not only the tiny home market, but the impact we're making, right? People know about us. People are hearing about us.
The awesome thing about our open house is what happens. So a lot of you guys that don't know, like, hey, what happens when we do an open house? Is we bring you in, we've got food trucks, we've got snow cones, we've got things for the kids to do. And then for anyone that's looking for a home, we take you in the back of our facility. We go into like how we construct our homes, how we do this step for step. So when our open house, you're not only, you know, if you're looking for a home or anything like that, you're coming to see how these things are built. So we do tours in the back. I mean, there's a lot of activities going on, a lot of fun that's happening. You bring your kids, bring your families, and just see how these homes are constructed, the quality of them, you know, from step by step. So it was an awesome week and can't wait to do another one.
You know what you said is pretty cool. That is cool that we do take them in the back and we literally show them from the foundation all the way to a full finish out, that stage, light, air conditioned, furnished, how we build our homes. So when you come here, you're literally seeing a whole A through Z process. Am I right?
No, you are.
Yeah.
And it's, they get to see, you know, how your floor system is built, and then everything on the line of what each stage looks like. And then, you know, you're seeing the interior of your walls and everything before it's constructed at every stage. And so it's just amazing. Like people really don't know what's behind a wall. And so if they can see that before it's constructed, of actually the materials that we use, the quality that we have, and they see that through every stage that we build it. I mean, it's just incredible. And seeing the people, you know, from Houston, we were here till like 7:30 Saturday night. And I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, that is true.
But it's just, you know, it's a part of the journey that we love. We love helping people. You know, that's just what we do here.
That's awesome. Yeah, we did stay till 7:30. That's true.
Yeah.
All the way from Houston.
Yeah.
Yes.
Drove all the way to Houston just to be with us. I mean, she was laughing. She was having fun. It was almost like a little vacation for her sitting down with us.
That's another, you know, Saddlebrook is not only a tiny home builder, we're a family.
Yeah.
You know, when you come and you come into our building, you know, in our two-story office, you're meeting all the people that we have, and then you're going out back and you're seeing how big our facility is where we build everything. It's just, we treat everybody like family. When you come in here and when you purchase, we're not done with the people that, you know, when you purchase a home, we're not done with, you know, it's making sure that your home is everything that you need and everything you wanted. Yeah. So it was a pretty awesome experience. I can't wait for the next one. And I can't wait for our grand opening. We're going to have a big grand opening for our churches, for, you know, everybody to come out. And we're going to be rolling out those
dates. What's a grand opening? Explain that.
A grand opening is going to be, I'll let you speak on, you know, all the people, but we're going to have all of our partners here. We're going to have all of our friends here. We're going to have our church people here. Really, it's just a grand opening and a bigger event than open house. Yeah. So just taking it to the next level of really showing the people around here, our neighborhoods, you know, Texarkana, DeKalb, New Boston, showing the people that are close, showing what we do here and showing what our core values are for the company, why we do what we do every single day, and show them like the mission that we have, the movement that we're creating. And I always say, we're not just building a company, we're building a movement that's, you know, putting affordable homes, bringing that back to America.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. Because Saddlebrook is not only making an impact globally, but we're also helping out the community. So that's like a nice event we're going to hold for people here in New Boston, DeKalb, Sims, where if you're local, if you're in Houston,
if you're in Iowa, if you're in Colorado, like, we want you to come in and we want you to see what we're doing here and the movement that we're creating.
That's awesome. Yeah, kind of the thing that people were shocked at was how we build our homes, 16-inch on centers, single plate on the bottom, double plate on top, and headers above all the doors and windows. You see, what happens is people are coming, and maybe Saddlebrook isn't their first stop. So when they do come here, they see the massive difference in production, the massive difference in hospitality, and that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But before I get into the real questions and the juicy questions everyone wants to know, right? Guys, if you like this video, please drop a like. If you have any questions that we can't answer or we couldn't answer on this podcast, drop a comment. Or if you know someone that really could benefit from this information, share the video. Share the video. Spread the word. Spread the message. We're doing great things. So I actually saw an article this morning, which was pretty crazy because we're always touching on affordability, right? How can we be affordable without taking away quality? So in 2024, I saw, according to an article, people need to earn $106,000 a year to be able to afford the median mortgage payment. $106,000. Just 4 years ago, that was $59,000. So all you had to make in 2020 was $59,000 to afford a home. Now that jumped up to $106,000, right? What do we offer? How has that changed now? How are we changing that dynamic?
I think the biggest thing, and I'll just, you know, I'll even share the school that we helped, or, you know, we started a school project for a school up in Oklahoma, and, you know, we're in with teacher housing and stuff like that. And, you know, teachers, I want to touch on teachers. Teachers don't make $109,000 a year. You know, not even principals do in most areas, for sure in your rural town areas. And, you know, it for $109,000 a year, that salary, that's an executive at a very large company. And we, you know, we're trying to help the lower class and the middle class that make $59,000, that make $40,000, that, you know, they're tired of renting, they're tired of living the everyday life, and they're not gaining anything. They're just living paycheck to paycheck, and they're not gaining any equity. They're not gaining anything or what their money is being spent on. And with our homes, you can actually walk into one of our homes and gain equity the day that you buy it because of how we construct it, because of how we appraise. You know, we have appraisals that if we, you know, use our finance options that we have, we can take that appraisal, and they're actually making money when they're buying one of our homes in most case scenarios. And, you know, if you make $109,000, you're going to be living in Dallas. You're going to be living in Houston. You're going to be living in San Antonio and working for a big major corporation or company. Most people don't make $109,000. I would like to see what's the average medium salary or paycheck that people get, you know, in the rural areas. I'm guessing it's not $109,000. And so what options do those people have these days? Yeah. You know, you have your apartment rentals, you have your, you know, single family home rentals. And in most cases, they're not below $1,000. And if you go into the Dallas Metroplex area, they're $1,500 to $2,000 a month in rent.
Or even more now.
And with, you know, grocery prices up, gas prices up, I saw statistics the other day, they're up double digits in some cases, bread, gas. They're, you know, inflation is crazy right now. So, you know, people are not even dreaming of owning a house today in this day and age. They're like, you know, I can't afford anything because if I go build a house, it's $309,000 or $250,000 for anything that's even starting price. And so when people come to us, they're like, hey, I can actually, that's lower than my rent payment right now. It makes more sense buying a new home that I get to own versus mm-hmm. renting from my landlord that doesn't even answer my phone calls half the time.
Or even the parents that come and bring their kids here because they're getting married or they're moving out. They're wanting their
moving
first
their
time
college.
Right. They want a first time home, like going out and for your first home. You know, me and you bought our first home, what, four years ago. And it was very affordable then. Like, and then the equity that we gained from that, but that's not possible anymore to find a home that we did as, you know, when we moved out from our parents' house, you know, we're 19, 21 years old, and you're trying to look for a house that it's affordable, you got affordable payments, you're looking for that affordable, you know, your first home, right? And I think that's the cool thing that we offer is when parents bring their kids here, or this couple that's just getting married, that want an affordable option, they don't need a 5-bedroom, 3-bath house for a starter home because the down payment would be insane.
Or, I mean, realistically, for let's just say for $120,000 to $150,000, that's our price range here at Saddlebrook. So if you went and bought that house today, what can you buy for that? And the only thing that you can buy for that is maybe a house that was built in the 1900s, mm-hmm. 1980, 1990.
Not new construction.
And when they walk in the door, they have to spend another $20,000 to $50,000 in just remodels to make it even worth living there. And so you take a look at all of that
mm-hmm.
versus you're walking in the door and it's brand new, and they have equity, they have an affordable payment. What else can you ask for in this day and age? And you know, we have so many parents and so many even kids that are in their 40s and they're saying, hey, I need something for my mom. I need something for my dad. I need something for, you know, my aunt or uncle that, or my great grandparents or grandparents that they don't want to send them to a nursing home. You know, we had another one 2 weeks ago in Hope, Arkansas. And she, you know, the daughter came in. I believe she was in nursing. And she was like, you know, I've seen the healthcare system. I don't want to put my parents in that mm-hmm. ecosystem. I have land. I'm going to put this behind my house, and I'm going to take care of my parents until the mm-hmm. day they die. Even if they bring in hospice, they're actually behind the house, and you know they might need, you know, they might have 10, 15, 20 years left. But in that right. meantime, if something happens to them, they're right there versus 20, 30, 40, 50 miles away, and you know they can't do anything about it.
Yep. Yeah. And one of the things that is overlooked, I'll say, is people who are getting approved for their homes. It's only really like a top 1% of people that are getting approved comfortably. What I have been seeing in my personal life, but I think everyone has if you're closer to a bigger city, is people barely being able to afford homes. What does that mean? That they can't get approved a loan. They use 2 to 3 to 4 cosigners to get approved for a loan, and they don't have enough for a down payment. So now they're borrowing for the down payment, they're borrowing for the house, and now they have 3 to 4.
And getting into more debt.
More debt, and what's the crazy part is they can't afford the whole mortgage by themselves, so then they rent the basement in some areas, they rent the guest room in some areas. So in reality, you just bought a 2,000 square foot home, and you're only living in 400 square foot, because you're renting this part, you're renting the top, you're renting the bottom.
Yeah. Just to afford the mortgage.
Yeah, just to afford the mortgage. That's really not a life to live. Imagine coming to Saddlebrook, living in 800, 1,200 square feet that is actually yours, that you can afford, that, you know, and your payments are significantly less. I would say 75 to 60% less, you know. So that's something else to think about. The alternative for some people is being homeless, couch surfing.
Mm-hmm. Living in their car.
Living with their friends, living, you know, because there's not many options out there. Yeah. There's not. But here, our mission here is to provide affordable homes that give you the peace and the, you know, and be profitability, not have that profit. In 4 years, 5 years, let's just say this, Chris, if you would have bought a home, let's say you would have bought one of our modular homes and you said, hey, I would have put it on a piece of property. Look at how much housing has gone up in the last 5 years. It's an investment property too. For anyone out there that's 19, 20, 21, or 40 years old, or 60 years old, that's looking for not only just a home for now, but an investment for later, something that they can give their kids. We've had a ton of people come in that they're setting these properties up for their kids for to create wealth.
Versus just paying for some, right. you know, because, some right. sorority rent or, yeah. you know, anything in their college. Because
we had a cool story. At the open house here Saturday, we had a parent bring one of their kids in. She was 19. And I'm not going to share any names because I don't want to put that out. But she was buying it. They're getting married. And they bought a little home. She's going to put it on the back of her property. And, you know, she had, I don't know how many acres she had, but she's putting a home there and they're going to get married. And, you know, her kids are going to be close, but it's an affordable option.
Yep.
So that was the cool thing.
But the other thing, instead of just giving your kids, you know, let's say money out of your 401k just to survive, mm-hmm. you know, we're seeing now people and parents are coming and saying, no, I'll invest in this house. And now, then they can deed the house over to their kids later, and now their kids have an investment that they can sell,
right.
you know, 7, 10, 15 years from now and actually make a profit versus just giving them cash and saying, hey, go spend my $20,000, and at the end of the year, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And so I did read a statistic. I don't have the actual numbers, but a lot of kids under 25 right now are still living at home because they cannot afford to even buy anything or even rent anything right now, because, you know, if you buy one car, well, that's, you know, sometimes $800 to $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. They can't go buy and have a $2,500 mortgage. They can't go buy and have a $2,000 mortgage. Plus, you know, your insurance is rising all the time. And so now that the kids are just staying at home and living with their parents well beyond, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I moved out. I was 19 years old. And, you know, I was like, I'm 19 years old. I want to move out. Well, now they don't even have that option anymore. And so we're seeing more and more parents step up and say, listen, I'm going to invest in my kids. But, and then, you know, if you're a smart parent, you're like, you know, I'll deed it over to you in a couple of years or even right now, or I'll co-sign for you, you know, and their kids are actually making an investment today versus just, you know, going and buying a new car or anything, or just paying rent
something
for the
that's
next
a liability.
10 years. Right.
Right.
Yep. Hey, you know, a cool thing I have seen is parents are starting to wake up. People in America are starting to wake mm-hmm. up to how can we save money? How can we set up our families for the future? And if inflation has gone up crazy the last 4 years, imagine the next four. Right. So what I've seen a lot of parents do with our homes is they're sending their kids out to college and they're already buying one of our tiny homes. So I tell them, like, what motivated you to come in? Yeah, I'm going to stay in a home for now since my daughter went to college. When she's back from college, this is the home I'm going to give her.
Yeah.
So parents are thinking ahead now, giving their kids instant equity coming out of college and a place to live, mm-hmm. which is insane. So that's pretty cool. But listen, I want to talk about something insane that I saw, right? So according to Data Bridge Market Research, the tiny home market value right now, the industry is valued at $5.61 billion. That is an insane number.
Yeah.
And the crazy part is that it's estimated to reach $7.39 billion by the end of 2031. So my real question is what do you say to people who think that this is just a phase, that tiny homes are just a facade, that they're going to be going out just as fast as they came in?
You know, I have a lot to say about that, but I think there's a simple answer. You know, if you look at statistics and, you know, all over anywhere you can research today, how many homes is the United States short today? It's well over in the millions. And historically, there's never been, how can you build that many houses in this short period of time? You can't.
Yeah.
Unless you just, you know, bring on so many builders that, you know, you're building. And it goes back to the affordability. Can you afford a 2,500 square foot house? No. You know, it takes a person that's making over $109,000 to afford that house. And in most cases, for sure, if you're in the rural area, you might not make that. And if you do make that, most of that money is being spent in just living expenses. I get it. Like, my living expenses in 2019 versus today is well over double of just actually living. If you go to Walmart, who's all, not to get off subject, but who's all went to Walmart and 4 years ago you could have bought a whole cart full of groceries for $100, $120 versus now? I went to Walmart the other day. I spent $350. It was a coffee machine, some fruit and vegetables, and some main necessities like toilet paper, paper towels, soap, stuff like that. No food. $350, and you're telling me that with that in mind, gas is up as well. Even if you make $109,000 and you have a family of five or six, well, guess what? Your kids got to eat too. And then you go to a restaurant and you say, all right, we're going to have a family night and we're going to all go out and eat at a family restaurant. Well, instead of it being, you know, $10 or $15 a plate, now it's $30. Now it's $40 mm-hmm. a plate. And if everybody gets a plate, well, that's a couple hundred dollars there just to have one family night.
Have you noticed the drinks are like $3.99 now at restaurants?
Yes. Exactly.
Like, what exactly. is going on?
And not to get off a subject, but when I say, is the tiny home and modular home phase, is it going to phase out in the next couple of years? The answer is it can't, because we're in that shortage of a housing crisis.
But America needs the affordability.
They have to.
Right. In order for, we can build more $350,000 houses, but with groceries, everything going up, if I built an on-site home, it's going to take me, what, 8, 9, 10 months. If I built a 35, 45, or 4,000 square foot home, you got to have contractors, you got to have this, and it's going to take that much time to build one home. Versus what we're doing, we're building multiple homes at the same time, at doing it at an affordability rate, right? And I have, like, if I could say one thing, it's to wake up, America. The government's not going to save you. There's no one coming to save us unless we say, hey, we need to find a solution. What is the solution to this affordability? Are grocery prices going to come down? Probably not. I think this is like, is this the new normal? For right now, it is. For right now, it's time to wake up and say, hey, my 401k, what I can retire off of, let's say I need $1 million to retire. Now I need $4 million to retire if I want to live comfortably. So how can I, if you're a parent, if you're someone, an investor, how can I invest in the future? How can I get an investment for my kids? It's saying, you know, our coach said, I don't want to give you fish. I want to teach you how to fish. How do we teach our kids? How do we teach the future to make investments? Because the 401ks and Social Security is not going to pay what you need to go live, you know, to buy your groceries, to make your mortgage rents. If what you've been telling us on the rent, how much rent have gone up, how much the home prices have gone up.
Yep.
You're not going to be able to retire on $1 million anymore. Your Social Security, unless you've had a good job all your life, but it's not going to be enough.
Pensions and stuff.
Right. So the one thing is, wake up, America. Wake up and look at, what can I do right now to take action? What can I do right now to invest in the future, to invest in kids? And if you have three kids, if you have two kids, how can I get them something that is going to gain, you know, you have liabilities and you have assets. How can I get some assets? How can I get some real estate? Because
And the other thing is, you know, too, you know, if you would have a piece of property and you wanted just to make a small investment
mm-hmm.
as just one rental property in the next 5 years, you would, you know, have a substantial.
It's going to make more than a 401k.
Right. And so, like, if somebody has a nice house now and they just want to have one Airbnb or one long-term mm-hmm. rental that they're renting for $1,200, $1,500 a month, well, that renter now is paying off all of the debt. And then 15 years from now, you're going to have a house that's paid for.
Mm-hmm. That's
still bringing in income every day. And, you know, you can sell it. You can keep renting it out. And you're bringing in residual cash flow every month that's going to help you and your family, you know, live through, you know, nobody knows what the next 10 years is going to look like. Nobody knows what the next 20 years is going to look like. Right now, like, most people, and if you're, you know, and I've talked to a lot of people, most people right now today, Chris, they're just trying to survive this week. They're trying to survive this year. They're trying to survive next year. How do I survive and provide for my family this week or this month and feed my family? You know, it's just going, like, it's going back to school year, just, you know, this week or last week for the whole country. And now they had to buy school clothes. Now they had to buy school stuff. And so a lot of their cash reserves, they had to invest in their kids again. Now they're back down to, you know, maybe nothing. Now it's back down to, you know, I have to work extra hours. Now it's back to, you know, working overtime. Now it's going back to not having enough time with my family because I'm having to work overtime just to provide for my family. Because as a, you know, as a man or a woman, if you have kids, you want to provide for your family. And so that's what we live in today in this day and age. And how can you get out of the, how can you get out of just surviving this week or just making it through next week? And so that's,
you hit the spot.
And when that's what we're trying to do here is we're trying to, you know, help this crisis and say, instead of paying $1,500 a month or $2,000 a month in rent, yeah, we've even seen people say, I'm going to buy three. Okay. I'm going to buy three. I'm going to have one for us and one for each one of our kids. That way they have their own, they have their own space, and they're putting it on 1 acre, and they all can have their family time. Or they're, you know, or they're a first-time home buyer, like the one that came in yesterday. Their mom, her mom, went ahead and bought it for her.
It's an investment in the future.
Yes.
And to your point, you said about being around your family. You know, a lot of people that I see, they might see their parents twice a year. But let's say your parents are age 60. They have 10. Let's say they have, on average, we live to 70, 75. Let's just say your parents have 10 years left to live, and you're only seeing them twice a year. If you look at it, go 2 times 10, you're only going to see them 20 more times.
It's crazy.
So when you can see, hey, I can make a small investment, because family is most important. Here at Saddlebrook, like, family is everything. Family is all we have. And we get so busy in the hustle and grind every day because, man, I just had to buy all my kids, you know, clothes and all that. Now, you know, I've got to go work. And then I come home and I got to work again, right? And I don't spend the time with the people that I love.
Yeah.
So when you only get, when you look at this perspective and you say, man, like, I've never thought about that. You know, I see my parents twice a year and they have maybe 10 years left and I only get to see them 20 more times. That's going to give you perspective and saying, is it worth the investment to invest in my family? Is it worth to be around my kids? You just said, we don't know what's going to happen in 10 years. We don't know what's going to happen in 15 years. But can we do something about the now? We can take action and say, hey, I want my parents in the backyard, because what do we say? Creating memories is the things that people, that you're going to remember.
Creating those memories. I think it's the greatest investment.
Right. Yep. It's investing in your family.
I think what you guys are saying is the perfect segue to what I really wanted to touch next is seeing your family, right? You're one plane ticket away from seeing your family. But like Colton was saying, it is so hard to even save up those $400 or $500, because then your kids go to school. Exactly. Then your car breaks down. With tiny homes, we've only been talking about the short-term savings, right? Hey, you're going to save short term because houses are expensive and ours are affordable. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about some of the long term where you're going to save. Some people, they're scratching for their last $100 to pay their phone bill. Mm-hmm. So I saw a case study that said in the last five years, just in Texas, our home state, energy has gone up 20%. You know, there's some people, mine has.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. You know, and especially if you have like bad insulation or your house is not well insulated,
built in the 1900s.
Yeah, your energy bill is literally in the thousands. Mm-hmm. It's like,
well, a couple hundred, not in the unless you own a four or five thousand.
Yeah, well, on Saturday, someone said, "Hey, my house is so badly insulated. We're keeping the AC on 24/7. I have two kids. My energy bill was $750 last one. Mm-hmm. My jaw dropped to the
window. Don't even start on the wintertime. We have a pretty mild winter, but you know it still gets down in the teens. And you know,
it's cold.
If you have electric or gas, guess what? You're going to be, you know, you can't be 60 degrees in the wintertime. You want it, you know, a comfortable 70 degrees." And you have bad insulation because it's an older house and that's the only thing you could afford. Well, guess what? You're gonna spend $500, $600 a month.
That's the long term you gotta look at.
I mean,
it's a long
term. Even if you look at, you know, we use a very, and you guys can do your research. We use spray foam insulation. And, you know, it has some of the best R values out there right now. And you look at that. I've talked to a lot of our past clients, and I'm like, hey, can you show me your last 6 months of utility bills? I said, I want to see the the winter months and I want to see the summer months. Chris, you know what a 1,000-square-foot house averages out every week, every month? And this is, you know, middle of America, Texas, Oklahoma area.
It's hot.
And it's hot.
It's hot. Like,
these last couple weeks have been hot.
Yeah. We gotten out of Dallas and it was
and
hot.
And you can also look. We use a mini split system.
Very efficient.
On our AC and heat.
Very efficient.
So they do have heat ships that can go to minus 21 degrees. And if you take a look at their average, Chris, you want to know what it is?
What is it?
$120 a month.
Yes, sir. There you go. Hey.
Because, I mean, you even take a look at, it's a lot more than just insulation. What type of doors are you putting in? Right. What type of windows are you putting in?
So
all of that matters.
Because you're looking at, so let's just say we had some mobile homes and our electric bills were, what?
No. Five, we still have a mobile home that we lease out.
$700 a month.
It's $750 a month.
Okay, so let's just do some quick math. If I'm at, let's just say for easy, let's just say $700 versus $120. That's $580 extra I'm spending. If you have a mobile home, times 12, I'm spending an extra $6,900 that I could save if I invested the right. That's the long term.
And then do times 20 because people are
saying. Times 20 years. That's $139,000.
That's a lot in school tuition or.
It's vacations or it's another home. It's another investment. That's four down payments for an investment property. That's buying a whatever. But take that into consideration. If you're in an old, you know, can I go buy a cheap mobile home? I'm not saying mobile homes are bad. But look at the investment side. Do the research and say, hey, do I need to go buy a mobile home that I'm not going to have very good insulation, that I'm going to have to spend extra $300-$400 a month in extra utilities? Or do I make the right investment that I'm going to make sure I have the right insulation, I have the right windows, I have the right doors that are going to save me over the next 20 years $139,000?
And that's something a lot of people don't take into consideration because they only think about the now.
I would
encourage anybody who's watching to really not only think about the now, but think in your future. Think about your kids. Think about maybe you're going to get laid off in 2 years. I'm not declaring it, but life happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are one of the things with our tiny homes, how we build it. It's not only energy costs, but it's maintenance costs.
Exactly.
How many people have I seen come in saying, man, my mobile home was leaking. It leaks.
My
here,
mobile home
here.
Floor is falling through.
Man, my mobile home looks like a mountain. The floor looks like a mountain.
Let me show you another thing, Chris. So we have a friend of ours. He actually works for us. His name is Jeff. And Jeff, if you're seeing this, correct me if I'm wrong. He called me the other day, and he just had a normal air conditioning unit. And with this summer heat, his mobile home was built in the 2000s, so it's not that old.
Right.
Maybe 20 years old. Okay. Well, his AC went out, and they said, so he had a technician come in. Technician came back and says, all right, $7,500. I need to replace the inside and the outside. And I'm like, $7,500? He said, yeah, that's the only thing that we can do. And you know what he had to go do and he's doing right now? He has to go make a personal loan, another loan besides his stuff, his regular rent, mortgage, whatever, and he's now having to go get a $7,500 loan just to replace his AC unit.
A basic necessity.
A basic necessity that everyday America has to have, okay?
Yeah.
But if you take a look, let's say your mini split gives out in 5 years, 10 years. They all come with a standard 5 to 7 year warranty, parts warranty, whatever. You know what the replacement cost, Kyler, on a mini split unit is? The whole entire unit. Close to $2,000. So if that one unit goes out, well, you can just replace it. You can actually go to online and get like a Mr. Cool DIY unit now.
And they're saving more money.
$1,000, $1,500.
And they come pre-charged and everything.
They come pre-charged and everything. Yep. And so, you know, even if, you know, if you guys need more AC, check out Mr. Cool. I'm not, you know, I don't even use their units, but I see a lot of cool YouTube videos of Mr. Cool out there. And people are installing these by themselves. They don't have to have a license. They're Mr. Cool DIYs. They're saving a ton of money doing it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we're taking a look at that as a long-term solution. AC units will give out sometime in the future, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to replace it at some day and age. And so that's how builders and that's how homes have been built. And I do like the ductwork system, but with our vaulted ceilings, we can't use ductwork. And so we took a look at all of the advantages and even the power and the energy savings mini split saves versus a traditional, you know, home unit. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're hitting all the boxes and making this not only a great product, but making it as efficient as possible.
Yeah.
Yep. So I want to segue into my final two questions, and these are actually really important, to be honest. It can make a huge change. So I was seeing the cities with the worst housing shortages. We're going to see a lot of cities that everyone knows. So it's Boston, Sacramento, New York City, Portland, San Diego, San Jose, Seattle, Minneapolis, and Los Angeles, to name the top cities, right? Biggest housing shortages, most expensive cities, but also they have the hardest zoning and regulations for building. So what we're noticing is the biggest cities with housing crisis are also the hardest cities to get permits or even build houses. So what can we as Saddlebrook say to those local governors or those local mayors from those big cities that, hey, like, we need housing and we are the solution? Like, what is our response to that?
I've already seen, like, the state of Arizona has come out with new bills, and I think they're finally realizing, like, they're coming out with new regulations and stuff. So we're already seeing some of that. But there's, in some cases, like, let's take Los Angeles. You will have to go outside city limits. In Los Angeles, like, you can have an ADU in your backyard. So they've already made it possible for that. You know, we're already seeing that, okay? So they're, you know, let's take Los Angeles. They're putting an ADU on their back property, and then they can rent it, live in it, whatever. So that's the solution there. The other solution is let's take Texas. Texas is the number one state, I believe, right now that has sold in the last year the most mobile homes, modular homes, tiny homes in America, because that's where people are moving. And that's actually, Chris, the easiest state to get approved in. If you're outside of city limits, there's very few codes or regulations that we have to go by. You know, we have to go by the 2018 IRC codes, of course, which most counties and districts have adapted already. You know, some of them are still with the 2015 that we've seen. But let's take Texas, for example. There's so many people moving here. That was the number one state last year that sold the most manufactured or modular homes in the United States.
So well, that means if you're in any of those states that Chris just mentioned, then I would say, hey, move to Texas.
The cost of living will go down. Wait, actually, sure.
That's a dangerous statement right there, because a lot of people in Texas don't like people moving to Texas.
but I don't know. You know, and I think
other people are moving in.
The most that we're seeing is people that own land, and they've owned it for 20 years. They've owned it for a year, but they can't afford to build on it. That was their plan, and they're like, you know, I'm gonna build this for the next. I'm gonna live in this for the next 5 years, mm-hmm. and see where we land in 5 years, and then if I can afford, I'll build me a 4,000 square foot.
We've seen
house.
So many people do that. They're gonna build this till they build their big, you know, their big.
And they're not waiting a whole year to just move into something. They're waiting 3, 4, 5 months versus 12 to 18 months
because right. they need something.
They need something now. Like they can't wait. They can't afford to rent another 2 years waiting for their house to get built. And so they live in this, and then they either, you know, survey that piece of property off and sell it, or they rent it out, or they give it to their kids or grandkids. And, you know, it's a solution for everything.
Yep. So for people moving to Texas or neighboring states, what do you need to consider before buying a tiny home in terms of land, utilities on land, financing?
You know, if you move into a city, there's, you know, there might be a minimum square footage that you have to go by. They might probably won't
if
allow.
If it's a rural city.
If it's a rural city. They probably won't allow a manufactured home, which were modular, so you're good there. And they might have some restrictions, like a let's take a HOA. You know, they might have to have brick on the side. You know, we don't use brick like a traditional house. And so there's just several things. I mean, does your land have water? Does your land have sewer access? If not, we can put a septic tank in, no problem. Does your land have water? Does it have rural water? No. Okay, we can drill a well. That's no big deal. We can do that. You know, it's just there's a lot of factors that play into this. Does your land have electric? That's the one. That's the biggest thing is, do you guys have access to electric?
Yeah. So if you're looking for land or looking to buy, if it comes with the utilities, that'll save you a ton of money. Is basically what you're saying.
Thousands of dollars.
But another thing is if you're coming in, if you're moving to Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Arizona, Colorado, if you're moving Louisiana, in these states, there's if you don't know how to figure those things out, we at Saddlebrook, I mean, we can help you figure those things out. We're helping people pour their concrete pads. We're helping people connect their electric, their plumbing, putting in septic tanks, doing their water meters. We're doing all those things for the people that don't really know how to do it or don't really want, you know, they got a job.
I mean, most of them have a job nowadays to where they have to go to work. And then if they take off work to contract any of that out or just, you know, babysit any of that, well, now they're losing money because they had to be away from their job. And most times their job is not going to pay them not being at work, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, if they can do all of that in one whole aspect of Saddlebrook does everything, well, they just made a lot more money at their job.
And a lot of people would have had to take it off and find the contractors.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do it themselves. It was a cool start. We took one to Louisiana, and they put it right on the river. And there was electric, and their electric plumbing was hooked up that night.
In less than an hour.
Right, and they put their furniture in there, and the next day they were like...
Yeah, they were ready.
Yeah, they were ready to go. So these modulars in our tiny homes, they're super easy to connect. Super easy to connect the plumbing, mm-hmm. the electric, and then water is super easy. And then boom, like just like that, they were connected the same day, and they were living it the next day. Which is pretty awesome.
Yes, I mean... Let's even take electrical. I mean, I would recommend we use licensed electricians here. I would recommend use a licensed electrician to hook it up to your main power, your main meter pool, or whatever you use.
And we have all of that.
We have all of that. Yes, correct. And you know, we have licensed electricians here that make it so simple that the electricians can't charge you an insane amount of money when it gets to the property because most of that's already done. And so the only thing that you have to do is run it into your main breaker panel, connect everything, and it powers the whole entire house.
Yep.
And so we take a look at all of that. Like, what's it going to take from the time that we're done and, you know, how much more money is it going to cost you out of pocket to do anything? So we take a look at all of that. And I believe you have to stay within the affordable range of how can we be so efficient that when they get that, it's done.
Yep.
The only thing they're moving in is their furniture.
Yep.
And their dishes and their kitchen, etc.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome, guys. I think
this was a good episode.
Yeah, I think we hit a lot of good points. And again, guys, we've reached the end of our episode. But if we didn't answer any of questions that you wanted answered, drop a comment. If you liked the video, please drop a like. It helps us a lot catch the algorithm and reach more people. And of course, if you think that this can impact someone in your life, please share the episode. If you know someone who's in the same situation we talked about that most Americans are going through, please share this episode, guys. And on to the next one.
Thank you, guys.
If you enjoyed this video, drop a like. If you have any questions we didn't answer, drop a comment. And guys, tune into next week's episode where we will continue to educate you about the tiny home industry.